We're going to continue in the. I've made an arrangement with Sungwoo back there that if I launch into a fit of coughing, he's going to turn the sound down. We'll just take a moment, and then we'll carry on. But it's all good. We're going to continue in the series we've been in, Living in the Goodness of God. You can see that right up on the screen here. Last week we saw the goodness of God in display through the lives of some young men in whom God is doing a restoring work, as Teen Challenge was here with us last Sunday. Now today, as we continue in this series, we're looking at what's been called the most famous chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. It goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. How about we just read it together? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Awesome chapter, awesome one. Psalm 23, a shepherd's psalm. Today we're considering the line that says, you anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. So what does that mean? What does that mean, you anoint my head with oil? This was written about 3,000 years ago. How does it have any relevance to our lives today, this part of it, and God's goodness, or the goodness of God? Well, to sort of answer those questions, we've got to understand a little bit what anointing is. What does it mean to be anointed? Interesting subject. It's interesting because this concept has its roots in ancient shepherding community. And what would happen is shepherds would, you know, you call it whatever you want, they would, as it were, anoint their sheep. They would pour this oil on their sheep's heads. And they would take oil and pour it over the head and work it into the sheep's face and ears and their neck area, because insects would get in there. And whether it's a tick or lice or whatever would get into their skin, and it would begin to bite them. Sometimes bugs would lay their eggs in the wonderful mucus of the sheep's nostrils. And when they hatched, the larva would then crawl up the nostrils and into the brain. And sometimes the bugs would then bite the brain of the sheep. And they say that the sheep would then bang their heads against trees and walls and rocks to try and bring some relief to that. Isn't that a great picture? It is. It is. Some of you got your eyes looking down and all that. This oil, this anointing that shepherds would put over their sheep would help to protect them from these insects and these bugs. Well, the idea of anointing wasn't just used in the shepherding community. God used it. God's people used it as a symbol. Anointing was a metaphor, a symbol of God's blessing, of God's protection, of God's empowerment in a life. And as you read through the Old Testament, there are very few pictures, very few concepts, very few teachings that pack more richness and significance and punch than the idea of anointing. In fact, starting in Genesis 28, Jacob is on a journey. He's run away from his brother. He's done some things that weren't really good. And he's walking through an area of the desert called Bethel. And he comes to this spot, and he lays down, and he takes this rock and uses it for a pillow, and he goes to sleep, and he has this amazing dream. And when he wakes up from the dream, he says this, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." He says, "I didn't notice it, but God was here." And so he takes oil, and he anoints, he pours it over the rock. And what it is a picture or a symbol of God is present. It's a symbol or picture of God is present. An anointing carried with it that weight. God is present. God's here in a significant and real way. And as we read through the Old Testament, we can see that places were anointed, yes, but we also see clearly that people were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. And it symbolized a special and unique sense of calling. It was a way of God saying through his people and to his people, I'm calling and I'm covering them. I'm surrounding them. I'm equipping them. I'm empowering them, blessing them and releasing them for this task that I've called them to. And compared to the whole population of the time, it was a small group of people who received anointing in the Old Testament. It was a way for people to interact with God through that person who was anointed. When places were anointed, they were claimed as holy places. They were places where God said, since that's anointed, it's holy, and I will meet with you there. It gave a picture of spiritual residue or significance of presence, of blessing and protection. God is in this place. And so it was also with the prophets and priests and kings and the tabernacle in the Old Testament too. Anointing is unmatched in its significance spiritually in the Old Testament. But here's something that you need to know about anointing today. You are anointed. Do you know that? You are anointed. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, the Bible says you are anointed. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. He says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. What he's saying is he's planted you as a body with us in Christ. He goes on to say, he anointed us. It's an inclusive us. He anointed us. And so he takes this concept from the Old Testament that was reserved for prophets and priests and kings and tabernacles, and he moves it into you all. He has anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Putting that all together, it says in the next slide, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. What's reserved in the Old Testament for specific tasks, for specific calling on specific people. In the New Testament, the new covenant is widened, and it isn't just for specific people. This is for all those who are Christ's followers. Jesus, as he's in the olive tree garden of Gethsemane, on the night he's betrayed, literally, he's standing in a place that's called Gethsemane. Do you know what that means? It means press of oils. That's what Gethsemane means. Gethsemane means the press of oils or oil press. He's standing in the garden of the press of oils, preparing to go to the cross, to shed his blood, and to give himself so that you and I might, through his sacrifice, not just be saved and redeemed, but anointed, according to the Bible. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, that worship leader is really anointed, or that speaker, there's just an anointing on their life, or someone else? What we can say is, and so are you. And so are you if you're a follower of Jesus. Your gifting might be in a different area, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you are anointed. But here's what happens sometimes. Here's what happens with us. Someone will say, well, I would be anointed if I could get my act together. Like, that's a potential for me, but you don't know my life. You don't know the things that I've done or that I'm doing or that I'm struggling with. And you're right. We may not know your life, but we know about David's life, who's writing this, which includes adultery, murder, and no Father of the Year award for David. It turns out that in all of his failing, what David looks at and sees isn't his achievement, but God's faithfulness and God's mercy and God's grace. And that's where your anointing is found. And that's where your anointing is birthed, in God's faithfulness, in his mercy, and in his grace. This morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, if that's who you are, embrace the anointing that's on your life. It's there right now. You may not know how do I tap into that, or you may not know how to walk in it, but at least begin to believe afresh that you are anointed, that His Spirit rests on you. And if you're able to embrace the anointing that's on you, it will give you confidence for whatever God has in front of you. It's interesting that this idea of anointing isn't limited to what would have been the Hebrew or Christian circles. It isn't limited to just these people of God and the story of God. It was widespread. In fact, you'll see in this next picture, for example, on King Tut's tomb, inside the catacomb, there was this painting of a banquet that was found. And if you look, on each of their heads, there is this kind of cone thing, right? See these? It's a cone thing. You know what that is? It's solidified, scented oil. The cone was scented oil in a solemn form. And as they went through this meal, the oil would melt because of their body heat. And this anointing, that they had this oil on their head that throughout the meal would just, drip over them, reminding them and signifying the presence of the divine for the Egyptians. Now, there's some other kind of weird things about that, but it had to be seriously uncomfortable, right? I mean, just no. And so, check out this picture. Now, look around you, in the room around you at other people. You don't see it on the heads of the people around you. No. But symbolically, it's there. Based on what the Bible says, those who follow the way of Jesus have been given the Spirit of Jesus, and the Scriptures say clearly, you are anointed. There's a covering over your life. There's a blessing over your life. There's a protection over your life. There's an empowerment over your life. And David says, not only do you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but you also anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Sometimes it's hard to grasp some of those concepts. Have you ever been in a restaurant? And maybe there's a particular server that you have, and it seems that every time you take a drink from your cup and you put it down, they're there to refill it. I was in a restaurant, and it was like magic. I think it was somewhere down in the States, and you know, you'd have a sip of your cup, and then you put it down, you maybe chat, and then you go back to your cup, and it was like full again. And you didn't even know the person was there sometimes. It was weird. And eventually, we had to tell them to stop. But it's kind of awesome. David says God's blessings are like that. They cause us to overflow with gratitude and fullness. He never runs dry. He never gives up on us. Ken Bailey, a great theological scholar, puts it this way. No stone is left unturned in the host's efforts to assure the guest, that's you, to assure the guest that he or she is welcomed, honored, and loved. That's the image. Whatever's going on in your life, you need to know this. You are anointed by the Spirit of God. It's this anointing that reminds us who we are, and it's this anointing that reminds us whose we are. Whether it's in the presence of your enemies or in the presence of your friends, it reminds us that we are God's. Consider a few things with me about this anointing, what it does as it rests on us. Remember that verse we just read? I think we just read it a minute ago. Now it's God who makes us. Both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You are anointed, and by that, God means His Spirit dwells in and lives in you. And what that means is that there's another term, you are sealed, as in claimed, as in His. He is yours, and you are His. The word sealed is a business term, and it refers to a guarantee of a fulfillment of a contract. What you sign up for will be delivered. And what Paul says is that because you are in Him, He's claimed you, and it's a guarantee. You're sealed into Christ. So as an anointed follower of Jesus, you are claimed. Now, you may not be sure that you like that thought, especially in our culture today. But God isn't some abusive owner. He's an empowering, loving shepherd of our soul. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, and when you find yourself in Him, you find your true self. yourself as you were always meant to be. It's not an oh my goodness, now I'm owned and now I'm claimed. It's a, now I have a spirit inside of me that gives me access and relationship to God. I have the spirit of adoption as a child of God. Peter says it this way to the churches. He says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. In Romans chapter 8, we read this. We have a spirit inside of us that cries out, Abba, Father. And because you're claimed, you have these promises. You stand under this canopy of God's goodness, and his grace and his mercy. So what he promised in Jesus, he will deliver. His love won't run out. His grace is sufficient. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And you can have victory over sin in your life. Not just be forgiven of your sin. You can have victory over sin in your life. And we step into those things as we recognize that we're an anointed child of God. His Spirit rests on me, lives in me, dwells in me. And he's put his seal on us. He's stamped us as his, and his Spirit is in our hearts. It's crazy stuff. And as he does that, he speaks to us and he works in us. John wrote this in 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not... This is a great line for pastors to read. And you don't need anybody to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as has been taught to you, remain in him. So hopefully, as we worship, as we look at God's word together, it's the Holy Spirit who's actually teaching you. My words are limited. My ability to deliver those words are limited. But if you're anointed and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and we read his word, he says things to us like, that's for you. Move on that. Act on that. Live in that. And so John says that this anointing means his Spirit lives inside us. His presence dwells in us, and he teaches us, and he leads you, and he's at work in you because you're claimed. The Spirit of God is your teacher, and he won't leave you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's because you're anointed. God's presence with you. You've been claimed and you've been consecrated. You are sacred space. Don't go around telling people that. Just hang on to that. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry, if that's what this means, if God's word is true, and we are Christ followers, anointed by him, sealed in him, if his Spirit lives in us, then you carry the presence of God with you. That's a big responsibility, I think. As anointed followers of Jesus, that's who you are. You carry his presence in you. You know what that means? It means you have the ability to change environments you walk into because you carry his presence with you. Let me say that again. It means that you have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit, to change environments you walk into because you carry his presence with you. You walk into your family, you carry his presence. You walk into your job, you carry his presence. When you walk down the street, walking your dog, talking to your neighbors, you carry his presence, so carry it well. If the church, that's you, not the building, if the church, the called out ones, if the church is going to have any power, it can't be with words that we believe. It has to be the way that we live. It has to be the way that we live. It has to be the impact of the presence of the Holy Spirit that we somehow bring into circumstances. In the Old Testament, some people were chosen and anointed because of their lineage as priests. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, we have a kingdom of priests. That's what we're called. Christ followers are that kingdom of priests. So instead of a single person being the connection between God and people, his Spirit lives in each Christ followers, and there's a direct connection. Here's the way that Peter writes it to the churches. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. In that verse and some of that there, the reformers back in the mid-1500s, they caught on to this idea. The church wasn't intended to be a place where some people could talk to God and some people couldn't. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. We all have that opportunity and that ability. And here's something else to think about. No prophet, no priest, no king ever received an anointing to sit on the sideline. It wasn't as if you were anointed as a priest and then told to put your feet up and grab a lemonade. The anointing was a commissioning to be a person who lived in the presence of God, who embraced the Spirit of God, and partnered with God to build his kingdom. You're claimed, you're consecrated, and you're also called. That goes to the core of a believer's identity. You are called. As followers of Jesus, as anointed ones, ones on whom his Spirit rests, he invites us into his world where he's at work in restoration and renewal and redemption. Again, some of which you heard last week in the lives of the Teen Challenge guys. He calls us to be active. And as we read about in the life of David, he was called to be a shepherd before he was ever called to be a king. His faithfulness as a shepherd led him into his future as a king. And God's call on our lives begins with being faithful with where you're at and with what you have. Calling is always God calling us to follow him. Sometimes God's calling requires us to make a physical move somewhere. But it always requires movement of some kind. And perhaps that's in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our thinking. It always requires movement. Some of you are called and anointed to be excellent business people. Some of you are called and anointed maybe to be excellent painters or teachers or parents, excellent public service people, excellent students, doctors, nurses, you name it. You are anointed by God to live in the place and the sphere of influence that he has called you to live in at this moment. There may be a time where it's somewhere else, but right now it's where you are. And it's to become all that his Spirit works in you to become. So don't wish your life away. So many people say, oh, if only I can get here, if only I can get here. And they miss so many of the opportunities that God is leading them in and trying to build and grow in them where they are right now. You see, when you embrace your anointing, the claim that's on your life, the consecration that's over your life, and the call that's inviting you, when you embrace that, you can live in the confidence that God's present. God's here. He's powerful. He's at work. His love hasn't run out on you. You live in it. Well, one of the other things that oil was used for is it was put in these little tiny basins or cups, I don't know, whatever you want to call them. And then it was lit on fire. Lamps. That was used for some. How many of you grew up with oil lamps? That's okay. Yeah. Like for a regular light. But so oil was used for lamps. The oil would light up rooms. It would light up space. And that's the kind of thing that should be true for us as believers, as Christ followers too, in our actions, in our words and attitudes. Those who live as anointed ones will be a light in this world that he calls us to live in. If you're a follower of Christ, you can have the assurance this morning that he lives in you and you are anointed. David reminds us of this when he says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Let's pray. Father, I pray that for those who maybe wrestle with this idea today, that you would just remind us that we are yours. You, as the Good Shepherd, have a claim on our life. Would you remind us that we are holy? Would you remind us that we are called? Would you stir in your people, Lord, as you remind us of the anointing that's over our lives. Thank you for being the God of Holy Spirit anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.